Welcome to the April 10th, 2015 Drupalize Me podcast. Drupalize Me. Hello, everybody. So this is Addison Berry. I am your hostess for today's podcast. And I have some cool people on the show today. Not that other people have been on the podcast aren't cool, but today's topic I think is really awesome, and I feel really privileged to have these folks on with me today. So without further ado, I have with me Mike Bell.
Hey.
And Greg Dunlap.
Hey there.
And Blake Hall.
Howdy.
And what we're going to be talking about today is a topic that a lot of people don't like to talk about publicly, which is mental health. And everybody on this podcast has dealt with mental health in various ways themselves, as many, most people do, I think, in various vectors. And so we're going to talk about that today based on a presentation that Mike gave at Drupal Camp London. Before we dive into the topic, though, I'm just going to real quickly hop out, do some news, and then we'll come back and get to the discussion. In the Drupalize Me news department, we just started a brand new series this week, which is Object-Oriented PHP. So this is, we have a couple of intro to PHP stuff. This one's actually looking at object-oriented PHP. And in particular, we're sort of pursuing this. We're doing this in partnership again with our friends over at KMP University. And we wanted to give a foundation in object-oriented PHP because this is going to be a big thing in terms of preparing for Drupal 8. So that new series is out, which is I'm pretty excited about. I've actually been watching it as I've needed to review it and actually starting to pick some stuff up, so that's cool. And then we also, this week, Blake put out a blog post on Backbone.js and Underscore.js being in Drupal 8, and sort of what's going on there. So go check those things out. The object-oriented PHP stuff is going to be coming out over the next couple of weeks, so I think it's going to be 3 weeks total for us to get all of those videos pushed out the door. So, but yeah, that's kind of what's going on in our backyard. So yeah, let's actually just dive into the discussion. And I want to start things off. So like I said, so Mike did a presentation at Drupal Camp London, which was mental health and open source. And then on the first slide, he crossed out and open source. And so I just sort of actually want to start off with asking Mike, what prompted you to talk about this publicly and actually do a presentation at a Drupal camp? And then I guess also, how did that go?
Well, it starts off, about a few months before Drupal camp London. Basically, towards the mid to end of last year, I had a quite public mental breakdown. And I think one of the things I found with that was I didn't know where to get help, what do I do in this situation when everything collapses? So I ended up writing a few blog posts around that and just basically asking, sort of like cry for help and asking for help. And it turned out that a lot of people within the open source community actually messaged me and got in touch with me and said, oh, actually, yeah, I've been through something similar to this. This is what you need to do. So fast forward a few months, and it leads up to PHP Northwest, which is a fairly large PHP-based conference in the north of England in Manchester. And I was ironing about just talking about something because I'd recovered a bit, and I was sort of feeling like I wanted to talk about this as part of a recovery type thing. So I did a short lightning talk there, about 10 minutes or so. And at the end of the first day, I was sat in a hall with probably 200 or 300 people, and they decided that they were going to go through a list of the lightning talks that stood out through the day, and they mentioned that, well, actually, we're going to give a main track talk to the best lightning talk, and then they announced that that was me, and at which point I got like a massive round of applause from about 200 people, and I've never felt so scared in my entire life. So now I have this presentation slot later on this year at a big conference. I actually need to put a bit more effort into this, and I feel like I owe it to the people that were there to sort of do the best I can with it. So I then decided, well, where best to actually trial run this than DrupalCamp London, with my peers and very good friends as well. So yeah, that's kind of how it all started and how I got to sort of be speaking about this now.
Wow. How did the DrupalCamp London, so you did an actual full presentation there instead of just the little lightning talk thing, right? So how did that go? Because this is a hard topic to talk about.
Yeah, it is. It's a very hard talk. Yeah, especially when I really don't like kind of self-proclaiming that it went really well. The feedback from it was superb. It was a very scary thing. I included a slide in there saying that, like, I'd had 2 panic attacks and 3 incidents of imposter syndrome while writing the talk, and it's quite scary to be up there and have and out your personal life and try and sort of equate what people might be feeling to me and try and put into perspective people's thoughts, because one of the things that I found is, and I still find nowadays, is when I talk about these things, I'm realizing more and more about my own mental state and my thoughts and feelings about things that I wouldn't have ever dreamed of if I hadn't actually talked or listened to people that had been in similar situations.
Yeah, I dare say that a lot of people don't. We don't talk about it, right? You don't tend to think you're going to go to a Drupal camp and talk about the state of your mental health. So it's like this sort of like just sort of gray, fuzzy box that you keep tidied away at home or something like that.
I think that's kind of that's where the whole crossing out of the open source thing came from. It became pretty clear early on when I was writing this that it actually had nothing to do with open source. It just so happened that I work with open source. I've been a member with the Drupal community for years now. I've got very good friends in the community. It just so happens that I'm part of an open source community. But these are things that affect everybody. It just so happens that I'm part of the Drupal community.
All right. So what's the gist of your presentation?
It's a mixture of sort of kind of my experiences and my thought processes and the stuff that's really helped me in recovering, and talking about things that are actually quite uncomfortable for people to really discuss. So like I talked about the medication that I take, something which is intensely personal for people. And it's often the case that, well, it shouldn't be a subject. The company that I work for has sort of supported me through the time I had off and supporting me when I came back into work and the things that like and the project managers and owners of these companies can help do to people in my situation.
All right. So you reached out essentially for help by posting on your blog and then you got responses sort of from, well, the community, I guess, the general open source community. Is that true?
Yeah, it was a lot of people from Drupal UK and the PHP community in the UK.
Right.
I mean, these are people that I've known for a good number of years and have met at various different events. And it is the case of, like, it's the Drupal and PHP family, really.
Right. So I'm curious, like, for Greg and Blake, what is your guys' thoughts and experiences in terms of discussing these kinds of things generally, or particularly within the community or the open source community?
I think it's pretty telling that Mike mentioned imposter syndrome right away. I mean, I know that's something that I personally struggle with all the time, and I think a lot of us do. I mean, when we have Lullabot get-togethers and retreats, there's inevitably a group of four or five people, and as soon as you have the courage to kind of come out and talk about it, you see lots of heads nodding and lots of other people that are going through the same kind of thing. I mean, I even had some of that talking to you, Addy, when I was thinking about coming over to join the Drupalize Me team a few months ago. So that's something that I'm kind of personally fighting with all the time. But I think a lot of us struggle with, you know, are we qualified enough for the work we're doing? Are we, you know, we're surrounded by smart people all the time, and sort of the pressure to live up to some of that can be pretty overwhelming at times.
I know that from my perspective, when, you know, I gave this presentation last year, Stay for the Community, and a lot of that came from another thing that I was seeing, which is that, you know, and this is common in a lot of communities where people are giving to something that they care about, especially on a volunteer basis. And that was that I was noticing how much, like, anger and bitterness I felt as I worked through the community. And I think a lot of other people have felt the same way for various reasons, but you know, in the talk, I talk about a lot of the structural things that happen in Drupal as far as, you know, the way that we work together and what we prioritize in terms of the things that we care about that can lead to those kinds of feelings, but also my process of recognizing that in myself and how to pull myself out of it. I think a lot of times when people are working, again, especially on a volunteer basis, for something that they care about, they have, it's two parts. There's this one part where it says, you know, if I don't do this, then nobody else will. And it's super important. So somebody's got to do it, so I will. But also as a community, I think that we spend a lot of time putting stuff out there and saying, this is super important and someone's got to do it. And when people step up to volunteer to do it, not necessarily thinking to ourselves, is it healthy for this person to do it? Just sort of saying, oh, they're going to do it, great, and let's not worry about it anymore. You know, like not thinking about the health of our community and the health of our contributors as a community problem, and more pushing it on them and saying, well, if they think it's okay, then it's going to be fine. You know, because a lot of times the people who are involved in these things are the last people to recognize it. You know, I mean, when I started talking to people about how I was feeling about my work as an initiative lead, they were all like, duh, we've been seeing this coming through for you forever, you know? And so I think that was something important that I wanted to talk about, is that, you know, as a community, we should be really focused on our health and how we feel about each other and treat each other. And, you know, like with Mike, my response to that was, like, so amazingly positive, really. It's like it really goes to show how these issues, even though we don't really talk about them, how they touch so many of us. And it's like, and we're just like, I don't know if it's scared to bring them up or not look vulnerable, because, again, you know, programming and technology in general tends to be very, you know, oh, I kick ass at this and I'm the best and I'm going to crush this thing, you know. And to be vulnerable like that is really hard. It was really hard for me. It took me months to put that talk together. I think a lot of us, you know, while our individual sort of symptoms or how it manifested itself came up in different ways, we've experienced, the experience or the journey was very similar.
Yeah, it's interesting, like from the perspective of like the open source community and like the influence on that, in the sense that there's it goes both ways. So from my experience, like, again, I was really passionate about things. I got very excited. I got extremely burnt out. A lot of things fell apart for me in my personal life, and I ended up withdrawing a lot from community obligations. This is back when I was the documentation team lead, and I was on the DA and that kind of a thing. And I didn't really reach out or talk to people in the community. I didn't reach out at all. I just sort of muddled through it all, basically, and then started to talk about it a little bit more after I had gotten my feet back underneath me. And it's interesting to, like, in a sense, there's, yeah, this idea of, like, people will just keep taking things on, and there's always still things to do in a volunteer community. And so, you know, if you keep taking it, people will keep giving it to you. On the flip side of that, in terms of that being perhaps a negative influence on, you know, someone's mental health, in terms of not protecting people's mental health as a community, there's the flip side of it with, like, Mike reaching out and being public about it and actually getting a lot of support and help and some direction and stuff like that. So I didn't want it to be like this. There's this hugely negative thing about it, but it's something that I think we all need to think about and talk about more openly, like talk about within the community. Like, I think a Drupal gathering is a perfectly reasonable and logical place to have these conversations. It's just that we don't tend to do that because of all of these things of, like, vulnerability and, you know, meshing my personal life with my professional life or my volunteer life. But to separate your personal life from those things is, I think, a false dichotomy in a lot of ways.
I think it's quite interesting about the there's always work to do, and I think that is always true of anything, whether it's your day job or it is being a lead on something or being a contributor, and I think this ability to be able to talk about it's a tough thing for people, and it's a shame that a lot of people come to this realization after these issues happen. So things have to get really bad for people to turn around and say, actually, yes, there is a problem. And I think that's the major problem. And it's like, for example, like being the documentation lead and then this thing happening, you're in an elevated position there. And I can totally see how does that perceived responsibility of being stable and strong.
Right.
It's one of these things that comes with, like, with leadership, which it's one of the things that I really struggled with was how do you admit weakness in a culture that is notoriously bad for being seen as weak. I mean, I'm on a podcast now with people that are so well known in the Drupal community that I'm just perceived as nobody, and I think that's very scary for me in terms of, yeah, I'm in awe of, like, your positions within the community, and it's kind of weird. Like, imposter syndrome is that it's kind of I kind of feel a bit of a fraud for doing this, and am I the right person to be saying this? It's a weird situation to be in, and I don't know what, and it's the whole am I qualified for this, I think. And yeah, it's then realizing that and realizing that you're in that situation and then being able to bring yourself out of it as well. That's such an important thing. And it's getting in there early enough for people to realize that they have these they have these thought processes, really. And it's they need to change how things work.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think, and I can guarantee you that the vast majority of people who listen to this podcast will be able to relate. what are things that we can do? I mean, Drupal is a community of people, open source, you know, is a community of, it's just people. There's nothing magical about the people that we are. And like, I don't know, what are things that we as a community can do? I mean, honestly, I think like, Mike, you getting up and presenting this at a camp is brilliant. And that's a huge step for our community. Like, I feel like that moves our community forward into having these discussions and starting the conversations. But I'm curious if others have thoughts about like what, given that we're all in this situation, we've all experienced these feelings and pressures and thoughts and things like that. Like what could the community or a community provide or do that would ease that, to identify things earlier so that people don't get to this place of deep despair, essentially, before they realize that there's a problem, when they're in a position of a lot of responsibility, and that almost, you know, then this vicious cycle of pulling out of that and the additional shame and stress of that and all of these things. Like, what can we as a community do? Like, what would be a hopeful thing to be in place, you know, that could have helped in this process for any of us?
I'm not sure there's a community thing that can be put in place, like a funded program or anything like that. Or right. Maybe there is. I don't know. But I mean, you know, I consider many people in the Drupal community to be some of the greatest friends I've ever had in my whole life, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, we should treat each other like that. I mean, if one of my greatest friends in the whole world, I saw him burning himself out and becoming bitter and angry and frustrated, I would hope that I would have, you know, the wherewithal to step up to them and say, you know, are you sure that what you're doing is really healthy for yourself? And are you sure that, you know, this is really benefiting anyone, yourself or the community in general? You know, if I saw somebody, you know, falling into depression or showing, you know, some of the warning signs of, you know, wanting to hurt themselves, I would hope that I would have the wherewithal to say that to somebody that I care about, whether they're in the community or in the workplace or anywhere else. But I think another problem is that, like, as you were talking and we talk about like imposter syndrome, and you know, I know that when I was an initiative lead, one of the problems that I felt was like I volunteered to do this. I felt an enormous amount of internally applied pressure to mm-hmm. live up to do the job that I had put myself out there to do. I had said, yes, I will do this, and now it's my responsibility and I don't want to let people down. And it's like, so it's like, When you listen to that stuff, it's like so much of that pressure is internally applied, and I feel like a lot of that time we don't think about like the reality behind it. Because there were certainly several times in which Dries made it clear to me and any of the other leads that if we had to leave for any reason, personal or whatever, just fine, we should take care of ourselves and go do it. And you know, and mm-hmm. I didn't. And you know, we think about imposter syndrome, and you know, like Blake, I work at Lullabot, and I'll be talking to whoever, like Nate or Eaton, and be like, oh my God, they're so smart and amazing. I'll never be that smart and amazing. But the thing is, it's like, you know, people, you know, come to me and say how they were inspired by me and things that I did, but that's not the stuff that sticks. And it's like, I feel like we spend a lot of time not being really, and I know Blake will talk more about this, I think, but not being really present in our own lives and taking the time to be aware enough about what's going on with ourselves, you know, because so much of this stuff is like so internally applied. And if we just sat and thought about it and took a deep breath and you know, and saw where we're at with our lives and what we're doing, I feel like a lot of that could really help us out a lot too.
Well, yeah. So what are the things that you all have done to help recognize and then kind of come through or work through and deal with these things, just to give some ideas to folks out there who are probably struggling right now, but also maybe give other people in the community an idea of ways to encourage people to help themselves or be able to help others?
I think for me, one of the big things was this, just talking about it and just having these conversations and having the courage to be able to have, you know, admit some uncomfortable things about when we're struggling with this, with people that we trust and care about and respect. I think that's, it's a really powerful thing to be heard and to be, you know, to have the things that you're internally dealing with kind of acknowledged by your peers is a really big and important deal. And Greg's totally right on. I'll mention, you know, being present and actually aware of kind of what's going on in our own heads. And for me personally, that takes the shape of trying to find time to meditate every day and just sort of get better at realizing that the voice in my head is just a voice in my head, and that some of the stories that I'm telling myself are just stories, and I don't always need to buy into what I'm telling myself.
Yeah, that's totally one of the big things for me too, is meditating. And I describe it, people often ask me, like, why do you meditate or what is it? And that's almost exactly how I describe it as well, is actually stopping to listen to these stories I am telling myself and be aware of the fact that that's only one version of the story. And just even being aware of it, even not necessarily making up other stories or thinking that through, is like, oh, right, okay. There's other ways to look at this than the one I happen to be entrenched in.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen a video going around Facebook lately that's like something to the effect of, if we talk to other people the way we talk to ourselves, right? And it's
right,
just
totally.
This constant bombardment of incredibly rude things that most of us wouldn't say to other people unless we were joking. But we say that kind of stuff to ourselves all the time. And after a while, it just builds up and contributes to a really, really unhealthy environment. Or it can, if you're not kind of aware of the fact that you're doing it.
I think I can only echo what Blake said. Just finding time for myself, and just being more aware of my thought process, and just spending like 5-10 minutes a day just to sort of to get back in touch with yourself and let your mind like flow and let the crazy out a bit, I think. And just try not to get wrapped up in everything that's around. I mean, I've tried to change my daily routine by quite a bit, in so that I do spend more time just sort of meditating, but not properly. Just practicing breathing and just focusing on that. It's amazing like how free you feel when you look around and just take into account your surroundings without trying to ignore it with like looking at your mobile phone all the time or constantly trying to distract yourself with the internet or anything like that. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, and I find it, you know, for me, after having come through a very difficult period, I've definitely been gun-shy on terms of particularly my involvement in the community, but not, it's most visible there, I think, but just sort of extending myself and but I guess gun-shy is, I mean, the term I guess I use because I still feel a lot of guilt. but I do try to really stop and think about the things that I'm passionate about and in relation to the other things in my life. Like just being aware of, you know, there's this thing and I want to accomplish this thing or do this thing or be seen this way. But how does that fit with the other things? Like I like to sleep. I like to hang out with my wife in the evening. And like, how do all of those things fit and really sort of thinking those things through rather than just sort of jumping to when I feel is expected of me, which is really hard sometimes to stop and take a deep breath and think something through. And then once, you know, I jump into something, then the obligation and the pressure builds because I've stepped into it. But if I can avoid stepping into something, or at least stepping into it before I've thought about it in a calm way, I find I save myself a lot of stress. I mean, I just joined the Drupal Association board, but it took me almost a year to come to that place and feel good about it and feel strong about that and feel grounded in my reasons for doing it.
It's interesting that you talk, I mean, because, you know, me and you have both talked about sort of the guilt or internal pressure to keep up with our obligations. But I think, I don't think any of us should feel shame for saying, I tried to do this and it's not working out for me. And that may just be because I thought that this was something that I would enjoy and I don't, or I've hit a rough patch in my life and it's more important than this, or whatever, you know. I mean, none of us should feel the obligation or the pressure to be, you know, doing this stuff that isn't bringing us any joy, or is bringing us a lack of joy in even worst case scenarios, you know. Not everybody's good at everything, and not everybody is at the right time of their lives to do everything. And, you know, and you talk about how it took you a year to, you know, come to terms with and, you know, examine your reasonings for doing something like joining the DA board. And I think that's actually really healthy, because I think a lot of us have, you know, a tendency to sort of leap into these things, you know. And you know, when you're making a major obligation like that, I think, you know, sitting back and taking a lot of time to think it through and make sure that you're ready for it is super healthy in and of itself.
I also want to point out, in terms of like the community pressure, but, you know, again, it's not even just community. Like, I mean, community is not just open source community. We have all kinds of communities. Family is a community, friends a community, work is a community. But, you know, I mean, it's quite often, you know, it's not all going to fall apart if you step back and take the time to breathe and have the space that you need. That's one of the things that also I found, like this whole sense of obligation and I can't because, you know, people are counting on me. And it's like, you know, it's going to be fine. The world is going to continue, believe it or not. But related to that, I also think putting into place processes or mechanisms that let you feel that you have a safety net, so that it is easier for you to detach and step back. An ejection sheet, kind of plan for a lot of things. Like, this is my out. If the pressure builds too much, this is the way I'm getting out. Communication methods, whatever that is, like, I have that in my mind. You know, I hope I don't need to, and things like the DA and spending my time thinking it through and feeling good about going into it. But I still have an out plan. If something happens and I need to get out, I know what I need to do that. I even do that at work. I mean, I was just out of the office for a week and a half for the Easter holiday, and I didn't check my email, you know. And there's a lot of things going on. I'm involved in a lot of things, but I don't have to be there and present to make everything go. And that's, you know, partially because I work with an amazing team of people, but I also have actually actively tried to document things and put things in place so that I can step back. And if something happens, things continue to go on and I can feel safe and comfortable with that. So I think that's something else to just sort of keep in mind in terms of taking on responsibilities or trying to extract yourself from a responsibility that's basically making you lose your mind.
I mean, I don't see failure as a bad thing, especially with the kind of jobs we do. The high pressure that we work with, stuff that we don't necessarily know potentially that much about. And I think one of the hardest things for me was trying to turn failure into something positive, and being able to take sort of the issues that I've got and work around them and try and figure out what's caused the problems and be more proactive about them. So I think if something goes wrong, these things happen. We're human at the end of the day. We're not perfect, and to come out of that and not have learned anything is doing yourself a disservice. It's not about feeling bad for a failure. It's about realizing why things have failed and what you can do to do better in the future, and that makes you a better person. I think it's a huge mind shift for, especially I think quite a few developers to realize that failure is not a bad thing. It's the opportunity to learn, and it's the opportunity to become a better person.
Well said. Yeah, I agree entirely. Well, we're creeping up, and we should probably think about wrapping things up. So I want to make sure I leave space if there are other just points or topics or resources that folks wanted to share. Make sure we have some time for that stuff. So does anybody have anything else on their mind in particular they wanted to make sure that they touched upon?
I think one thing I'd like to mention is that this isn't always a topic that's totally rational. And a lot of times I think developers can sit down and feel like they can logically understand why they feel a certain way or why they're having these emotions. And a lot of times it boils down to not only the stories you're telling yourselves and problems that you're having as an individual, but it's also how we treat each other too, right? And I think, I know my friends in the community, I care more about those people as friends than I do about their contributions to the community itself. And if Drupal or if any other open source community can't structurally handle the absence of any one single person, that's a community structural problem. That's not a problem with that person. And I think if we kind of take a little bit more time to just treat each other better, that will kind of help go a long way to solving some of this stuff. Certainly not everything. I mean, I can't control how Greg talks to himself, but I can take care of myself, and I can be there to support Greg and make sure that I'm not contributing to anything negative.
Any other?
I think just going back slightly to about what we can do as a sort of an open source community, I think if one of the things that I saw recently at DjangoCon was they offered a quiet space, which was kind of an area which was distraction free and somewhere that people could go just relax. I mean, I've been to a few Drupal cons now, and they're busy affairs, and they're quite scary when you've got thousands of peers and friends and people from all over the world. And I think it's very important that people have escapes, and it comes back to what you were saying about having an escape plan. And I also think that, I think Drupal events and other and large conferences are prime spaces for some sort of mental health first aid, where people can, trained professionals can have their own free stand to where the people can go up and talk and get some basic information. I think that is something as a sort of community we can do. I mean, we bring together thousands of people. I don't think it'd be too much of a stretch to give some space up to people that could potentially help hundreds of people.
Wow, yeah.
I also think it's interesting when we talk about the events to look at the environment we create at those events. I mean, you know, we have a 24-hour coder lounge at every DrupalCon, right? You know, we have lots of booze-soaked parties. I mean, a lot of these things don't necessarily contribute to somebody having a healthy approach to doing the DrupalCons. I mean, you know, a lot of us sort of talked about it as a badge of honor in a way. You know, oh, I only slept 10 hours during DrupalCon London or whatever. But, you know, I mean, that kind of stuff, again, you know, when we talk about being productive as a community and being healthy as a community, a lot of that stuff doesn't necessarily contribute to that. And while it might be very productive for us as a community, because to take that kind of maximal advantage of our time together, it's not necessarily productive for us as people, as human beings, to kind of be that way. And, you know, that's something I've noticed at events throughout the technology industry. God knows it's not a Drupal problem individually.
Yeah, no, not at all. Just generally a human thing, too, for sure. Interesting stuff. Well, hey, I'm on the DA board. I can make some conversations happen.
Go Addy.
No, but this is important stuff. Because we are a community, and the community is made up of people. And for the community to be healthy, we need to have healthy people. So I think it just sort of stands to reason, you know? Cool. Well, I'm really going to wrap us up this time. But unless, does anybody have a shout out or anything they need to get in, or they'll cry?
I'd just like to give a shout out to a guy called Ed Finkler. He's at Funkatron on Twitter. He's a big proponent of mental health, and he runs a site called Open Sourcing Mental Health. So that's osmihelp.org. And I think me reading some of his stuff has helped me, and certainly helped me do the presentations that I've done.
Awesome. Cool. And we will make sure that we put links in the show notes to this, and along with other tools or whatever things, ideas, suggestions for other places to look for information or help or whatever out there. So make sure you check out the show notes, because we'll have lots and lots of links in there. Cool. Well, I just want to really say thank you to all of you for sharing. It is a difficult topic for a lot of people, not one we talk about a lot, and I really appreciate you coming on to talk about it. And I really, you know, for people who are listening out there, you know, if this stuff is resonating with you, I definitely want you to feel like you could reach out to me individually. Use my contact form on Drupal.org. If you have more, you know, questions or thoughts about that, this entire topic, because it is something that we need to talk about. DrupalCon LA is coming up, and I think it would be a good space for us to talk about this, you know, in the wider community with a lot of different people. There is a community summit day, which is on Monday before DrupalCon. It's free to attend, but you do need to register so that we make sure we have enough space and food and things like that. But the community summit is specifically for having conversations about community topics and how to make our people and our processes better. And I think this would be a really great topic to have there. So if folks are interested in that, I think that would be really cool. I'll definitely be at the community summit. Also, put that in your cap if you're going to be out at LA in a month. So, awesome. Thank you guys very, very much. And hopefully this isn't the last of this conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Until next time, happy Drupaling, folks. If you have comments or suggestions, you can obviously leave comments on the podcast page itself. You can contact us at DrupalizeMe on Twitter and on Facebook. And we also have drupalize.me/contact where you can actually just send us an email or something like that. So if you have thoughts about this podcast or any responses to this, feel free to use those avenues to talk with us about that. Or if you have ideas for other topics, cool new things you would like us to be talking about on the podcast, let us know. Until next time, see ya!